Hey everybody, welcome to the Bitch and Brainstorm podcast. This is a special edition because we are getting ready to we are gearing up for the Elevate Your Coaching Business Summit happening on January 17th. And I'm here with our very first speaker, Gail Knott, who is a business growth coach. And we're going to be talking about sales today. So, Gail, could you take a moment and tell everybody a little bit about you and what you do?
Sure. I'm a business growth coach, marketing consultant, and professional certified diversity coach. And I love helping my clients get comfortable with sales. I think we do our work because we love what we do, but we may not necessarily have any sales skills or even just feel comfortable with onboarding a new client. So that's what I want to share about during the summit.
Fantastic. I know how scary sales can feel for people. Like they don't want to feel like a used car salesman, right? That is like a, oh girl, I had that whole fear for a long time. Like, I don't want to be pushy. I don't want to this. I don't want to that. So, what are some of the things that how have you worked through that where you love sales and now want to help other people with sales? What was your breakthrough like?
I know that's the thing was when I first started my business, someone would have to track me down, pin me down, call or email me several times saying I want to work with you in order for me to sign on a new client. I made it so difficult for people to work with me. And the honest truth is, I think I was afraid of rejection, which is a common fear that we all have. I mean, that's part of our brain and our biology is you don't want to be rejected by the tribe. So knowing that there are some techniques I'm going to share during the summit of how we can work with that. And something that you can start doing right away is just a simple reframe of I'm just having a conversation to see if I can help this person. And if I'm a good fit or not, they'll work with me. And if not, maybe I can refer them to something or someone that can be a better fit for them. And I think if we just approach it as people talking to people, how can I help you? Am I the right fit? Are you the right fit for me? And it takes away that sense of rejection. At the same time, I do want to recognize that some of us do have issues when it comes to rejection sensitivity. I have
Yeah.
ADHD and it's one of my symptoms. And I didn't know that until I got diagnosed and realized, oh, because I have a physical sensation in my body if someone says no to me. Like it feels like it hurts. So now that I know that about myself, I can recognize it and say, okay, it's a feeling I have. It's my biology, but I know the truth. They're
Yeah.
not rejecting me as a human
Right.
being.
It's
This
so
is a hard fit for
hard.
them.
Yeah. It's so hard. Can you talk a little bit more about rejection sensitivity and what is that like? What is it? Because maybe there are people that are not familiar with rejection sensitivity when it comes to ADHD.
It's a common symptom. It also occurs in other mental issues, such as I know with ADHD, it might be tied in with depression, it might be tied in with anxiety, it might be tied with autism. I think every person is different in terms of their issues. But I also think if you're an empath, if you feel emotions in your body, like you feel a physical sensation. I'll actually cover that in my talk and during the summit, is if you feel these emotions in your body. So if you feel those emotions, I think it's good to get comfortable with knowing that's what it is. So if you can name it, okay, it's my rejection sensitivity. It's like this outside thing of me. It's just a thing. It's a feeling, it's real. And I know not everyone goes this way, but I like to like bless people. So like I love in my mind, I'm thinking, I love you whether or not you work with me, and I'm here to help. So when if it isn't the right fit and they say no, or I say no, in my head and my heart, I'm thinking, I bless you, I love what you're doing, and I know you're gonna find the right fit. So I think that's something for us to work on individually as well as practicing. It's also kind of this deliberate practice. The more we talk to people and the more we get comfortable and putting ourselves in situations where it could be a no. Like when even when I applied to be a speaker, I don't know if I'd be accepted. But I have to do it. This is what I want. And it sounded like a great fit. So I applied, and whether or not it was the right fit, that's doesn't say anything bad about me. It's just,
Right.
is it the right fit or not?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It was, I find it really fascinating. The bless and release kind of thing, because I had to implement a similar practice for myself as well, was that sometimes there's just like a personality conflict or something like that. And I just go, you know what? If someone, like I had someone like copy stuff that I did, and it feels really gross, right? And so you're like, and so for my own sanity, I had to bless and release and say, obviously they needed it more than I did. I wish you well, but I can't hold on to those feelings anymore because it is impacting my life and my business. It's like the, you know, drinking poison and expecting it to hurt somebody else, right? Like that whole philosophy. So bless and release. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think that is such a great way to like that it's not a really about them rejecting you. It's that you're blessing them to move on to find somebody else that may be a better fit for them. Like, what a great reframe. I love that. I love that. How long did that take you to get to get there?
Well, I'm 48 now.
Right. Right. It's not something that just happens overnight, right? Like it's a
It's a process, and I think as you grow and put all these things together, because I had a sales coach when I realized I was bad at sales. I was selling, or I was in a proposal meeting with a business consultant, and he actually stopped me and said, "Let me help you."
Wow.
And when he stopped me, and I realized I need to get better at this. I think I need a sales
Yeah.
coach.
Yeah. So tell me, how were you a bad sales coach? Like, what were some of the things that you did that you say that was terrible? I wish I would have known better.
I was meeting with a prospect. I used to have a social media management company, so I would do other people's social media or help them with their social media. And I sat down with them for lunch. It was supposed to be a proposal meeting, and I immediately went into my offer. Here's what I do. Here are my packages. Da, 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 da. So I asked no questions about what were their needs, what were they looking for, what does it mean for, what does success mean to them? What is this, a successful social media campaign? How do you see us working together? So all those kinds of questions. I even budget. Like, what's your budget? What are you looking to spend? And when they will get ready to start, how serious they are. So there's like sales kinds of questions you can ask. And I ask no questions. I just went in of basically reading what was on my website. Here are my packages.
Okay. And so now looking back, right, we learn and we grow, and then we make decisions differently, right? So was it that conversation with that gentleman that changed everything for you?
It was a pivotal point,
Yeah.
realizing I did not have sales skills. It was something I was uncomfortable with. I didn't know what I was doing. I just did it. And it worked for a while. But when I realized that I could improve on this and really be of service to other people, because even if they don't hire me, it's still a great session for them. A great sales conversation is actually a great coaching session. And since we're all coaches, we can coach our prospect to help them make the best decision for them.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. So, what do you think some of the most common challenges coaches face during those sales conversations? What are the things that they're just struggling with?
One is probably just the basic skills, like how do you have a sales conversation? Two would be lack of practice. I'll be honest, I hate role playing. But if it's just like you in the mirror or you in the camera, and you just practice the kinds of questions you want to ask, it gets comfortable. It gets to be muscle memory, and you know what to ask. Kind of like a coaching session, you know what to ask when your client gets into a certain point. You're like, oh, I'm going to ask this question and help them reframe the situation. So it's just practice. So practice, whether with a partner, if you don't want to do it, it's fine. But getting comfortable with asking those questions, getting comfortable with being uncomfortable,
Ooh.
because it's gonna feel weird. Let's say you're talking to this amazing client, and they're gonna sign up for your VIP high-end platinum package, and maybe you haven't sold that yet. So it's gonna feel like new territory where they want to work with you, but it feels weird. So you might be pulling back a little bit and maybe not following up with them, or not making the offer, not inviting them to work with you. So getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, that's when they say roll out your comfort zone, that's what it feels like. It's going to be uncomfortable. But if it's in alignment with who you are as a person, your values and your vision, it's the right path.
Yeah, that's so, so important. I think I used to practice in the car. So
yeah,
I have really great conversations with myself in the car. I don't know what it is, but it's just like, I have had arguments with my husband in the car by myself. I have... Right? Like,
yeah.
It's a great place because there's nobody there to judge you or anything. And you could say what you need to say or practice what you need to say without worrying, right? You just get it out and it allows you. I love the idea of practicing because it's that muscle memory that we need in order to, like, our uncomfortable zone can become our comfort zone if we practice, right? Like,
right.
We want to be in the comfort zone because it's where we're comfortable. So practicing will help get you there, right? Then it becomes like second nature, no big deal. And you can bless and release if it's not a great fit, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
I love that. So my last question for you is, what's one thing that we can work on to improve our sales before we come to the summit?
Yes. So one activity you can do is, as you have the sales conversations, or maybe you're just working on your marketing, you're working on the next launch, is when you start getting uncomfortable and maybe you find yourself procrastinating or feeling nervous before a call, is that after you do that activity is to journal on it. My brain tends to go straight to the negative.
Okay.
I sucked at that. I was horrible at this. So instead, we want to train our brains to go to the positive of what went well with that. And give yourself that acknowledgement and recognition that I did it. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to send that email. I was procrastinating, but I did it. I was nervous about that sales conversation, but we did it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the important thing, is to recognize and collect this evidence that you're a great coach and you're a great business person and you're a great salesperson.
I love that you say collect evidence, because I think that we like, what is the phrase? Like, you can find evidence of anything to like support whatever it is that you believe, right? We can find evidence that says we suck. We can also find evidence that says that we don't suck, but
yeah.
When you look for the evidence of what it is you're trying to prove, you will always find it, right? I feel like it was Brené Brown. I feel like that's a Brené Brown thing. I really do.
Probably. Yeah, it goes back to like law of attraction and the secret and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is you want to use that reticular activating system that we have and collect the evidence, because it's there, but our self-doubt and maybe our insecurities kind of block it from us. Mm-hmm. So we want to open our eyes and recognize and collect that evidence.
So what you're telling me is that you journal after every sales conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you writing down like what went well? What do I want to improve on? What was the vibe kind of thing?
Yeah. What went well? What do I want to improve on? What do I want more of?
Okay.
And that also sets that path to attraction and into action. Mm-hmm. So maybe I wanted to be better prepared. What does better prepared look like for me? Am I researching this prospective client first? Mm-hmm. Or I want to be more grounded before the sales conversation. Okay, so I know before the next sales conversation I have, I'm going to do a little grounding meditation before the call.
Love that. Love that. Well, I am super, super excited first to have met you. It's so wonderful to meet you. I love meeting new people, and to have you as part of our summit, in our sales panel. I am so excited, to have you a part of that. So thank you so much for deciding to sign up, even if you didn't know you were going to be approved, right? Just taking the chance because you just never know, right?
You never know.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Gail. Tell us, where can people find you if they want to reach out and connect with you?
Sure. My website is takewingcoaching.com, and I'm at Gail Knott on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.
Fantastic. We'll see you guys at the summit on January 17th, 2024. I cannot believe that January is about to be here. Like, that is insane to me, but I'm super excited to start the new year with an amazing summit to help coaches of all kinds elevate their business. So thank you, Gail.
Thank you, Elaine.